Welcome to this new season of my podcast where I want to come at you and bring you info about life, business, wealth, and everything in between. Because as you know, I have these pillars of wellness and I want to kick off today's episode and kick off this season with my updated 7 pillars of wellness. I want to walk through the pillars, why they exist, why I think they're important, and ultimately where I think they go and the order in which they belong in order to help someone maximize not just their wellness, but their entire holistic life cycle, which means your wellness, your mindset, your business, your life, and maybe even your career, depending on where you're at and what you're doing in the world. So let's get through this. Remember, if you like this episode, if you like my podcast, make sure to go to iTunes or wherever you're listening to this, give me a 5-star review and let me know what you like about it. But let's get right into it. So the 7 pillars of wellness. When I started this, there was only like 2 or 3, and then I branched out and ultimately ended up having 6 for quite a while. And now at this point, we've settled on 7. Who knows though? There could be more in the future. Maybe I'll take some away, but I doubt it. I tend to add versus take away. And if you know me, I try not to overcomplicate things at the same time. So my goal here isn't to produce this massive list of things that you can never accomplish and that becomes this bucket list that nobody understands and you have to have a degree in nuclear particle physics to actually figure it out. I want this thing to be understandable by my 4-year-old. She's actually pretty smart though. So maybe someone else's 4-year-old. Just kidding. Everybody's kids are smart. But okay, let's get right into this. The 7 pillars of wellness. The first one that I think is incredibly important. And remember, I came up with these after talking to people in my first business. I think I talked to over 5,000 different people. And I uncovered what I thought were the specific and most important things for people to do in their life in order to be successful and be able to take the next step forward and put themselves into the place where they consistently be, where they can consistently be successful. So remember, this is from the basis of I want to develop habits and I want people to create consistency to be successful. And you have to achieve these stepping stones in order to be able to be consistent enough to consistently move forward. Now, that's a drinking game. How many times did I just say consistent? You might be hammered drunk if you were playing the game. But let's get into this. The first pillar that I wanted to talk about today is mental health. I think a lot of us focus on our mental health, but we might not focus on it in the best way possible. And the reason it's number one, and the reason I believe it's so important is because if your mental health isn't in order, if you're self-sabotaging, if you're constantly thinking about how you're going to lose, about failure, about how things aren't going to work out, you're constantly worried, that's going to put you in a place to where you're ultimately not going to be capable of being successful in other avenues of your life because it's going to install and create self-defeating behavior that's going to prevent you from being able to realize any sort of modicum of success. You're essentially going to be shooting yourself in the foot before you even get started. So when we look at this theory here, and my take on mental health isn't necessarily that we have to wake up and have a 7-hour morning routine and say 7 Hail Marys and 14 chakras and wave the thunder wand around and then ultimately turn to the mystic being and be happy and then start the day. I think that's too much. I think when we think about mental health, what we have to do is we have to recognize where the problems we have are and why they're presenting themselves and when that came about. And then we can uncover consistent behaviors and patterns that have developed that lead us to being where we're at today. This is a pathway of recognizing and understanding that it's not just about the positive. Sometimes it is about the negative, and sometimes it's about learning how to face the negative and not facing it by yourself, but talking to people, finding someone who can help you, a coach, a therapist, whoever it needs to be that you can talk to help you recognize and understand that if we can't face the negative, then just focusing on the positive is going to put us in the fast path on a fast track to nowhere. So we have to recognize that if our mental health isn't in order, everything else is going to fall apart and fail. So we need to focus on this number one. And like I said, this isn't from like a positivity, do a 9-hour morning routine and a rain dance kind of thing. This is for focusing on where do the problems arise in our mind? When did they start presenting themselves? How did this pattern present itself and where and how can we fix this? How can we face this? And who can we work with to help us face and get past this? So then the second pillar that I looked at in this realm is social health. So after we get our mental health in order, after we feel good about ourselves, the next thing that tends to defeat people and destroy people is the feeling that everybody's judging them, the feeling that everybody's watching, the feeling of what will people do or say if I don't do well, the feeling of this person's one of the biggest influences in my life, but also the person that brings me down the most. The feeling that, oh, I can't stand up to my boss, or, oh, I can't do this because of the way people are thinking or feeling about me. So this is where we have to really recognize and understand and define who are the negative people, who are the neutral, and who are the positive people in our life, and how can we move people where we need them to be. So if someone's a negative, we probably don't want to keep interacting. We want to move them either into neutral or out of our lives. If someone's neutral, we want to decide, is this a positive or a negative person? Does this person create good influence in my life, or do they make me feel bad about myself? That's going to dictate where you move them. The people who are the positive ones in our lives typically tend to be the ones that we don't interact with as much as we should. So we want to reach out and create more opportunities to interact with this subset of people. So then when we look at the third pillar, and this one's incredibly important, this is arguably, these top three, it's pretty arguable, it's a challenge to figure out where these actually go. So number three is sleep. Now think about it. How many people in the world are sleep deprived? You've got all these talking heads talking about work, 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 kill yourself, do all these things, work, 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 don't ever rest. And then you sacrifice sleep. Then you get headaches. Then you feel bad. Then you don't feel right. You start seeing stars and stuff. You gain weight. You can't lose weight. You feel bad about yourself, but you don't know why. You feel burnout, but you don't understand where it's coming from. This is from lack of sleep. And so if we want to be able to really tackle these first three pillars are really the pinnacle to any sort of success. If we really want to tackle these, we need to make sure our sleep is in order. And to get our sleep in order, we have to develop good sleep hygiene. This comes down to habits. This comes down to not sitting on our phones for hours before we go to bed. It comes down to not watching. Here's the golden rule that I have for my house. You are not allowed to turn on a new movie before bed, and anywhere near 2 hours before bed, or maybe an hour and a half before bed. Why? Because I will stay up and watch the whole thing. Don't do new things before you go to bed, because you're going to put yourself in a place to where now you want to stay up and watch and continue to be engaged. Then if you have a job or career to where you have to wake up early, well, now you wake up early, now you're tired, now you're going to drink coffee, now you're creating a perpetual pattern of failure. Because what are you going to do? You're going to do the same thing the next day. And then you're going to be a walking zombie, a drone, if you will, from this lack of sleep. So we need to put ourselves in a place to where we can develop worry time. We can allow ourselves to worry before bed. We don't turn on electronics. We don't create all these distractions and these things that are going to make us go, whoa, maybe I should stay awake before bed. So remember, sleep tends to be one of the most important and incredibly important pieces of this journey. The next one that I want to look at is wealth. And so I thought for a long time about this pillar and how this pillar fits into this holistic and this healthy lifestyle and this idea of ultimately being successful. And wealth, really, when you think about it, wealth could arguably be one of the most important, because wealth, if you don't have money and you're struggling to pay the bills, well, guess what? You're going to be stressed out. If you're stressed out, guess what? You're not going to sleep well. Guess what? Your mental health probably isn't going to be in order. So wealth tends to be one of the most important and critical pillars of being successful. And this is wealth in a way to where you're comfortable financially, wealth in a way to where you're setting yourself up to be okay long term, wealth in a way to where you're putting yourself in a place to where money no longer becomes a problem. It no longer becomes a big thing you worry about. It no longer becomes something that holds you back, something that makes you stay up at night, something that makes you dread opening your bank account. And something that where you look at it, you say, hey, I'm set for life. Hey, I'm set to be in a good position long term. I'm set no matter what happens. Because if people are healthy from a financial standpoint, a lot of the other stresses in life tend to go away. And well, you can argue that money might not buy happiness. Money sure does buy a one-way ticket to stress-freeville, kind of like Margaritaville. You don't have to worry about it. So we want to think about this from the perspective of wealth is going to give us the opportunity to stop stressing out, to stop worrying, to stop saying, maybe I'm not going to be able to do this, to stop saying, what am I going to do next? And to finally be okay with everything. So our next pillar that we want to look at is nutrition. And you're probably like, oh, well, nutrition, that should be really important. Well, it is. But if your mental health isn't in order, well, you're not going to do anything with your nutrition. If your sleep isn't in order, you may as well not even eat right at all, because it's not going to do anything for you. So nutrition tends to be a little bit down the line, but I think nutrition is important to be able to build a healthy, obviously healthy life cycle. And I'm not talking about nutrition to where it's like you have to be vegan or paleo or pescatarian, or you have to have the Hollywood cookie diet or the all taco diet or the 48 hour, whatever. It's not about diets. It's about learning to do something that's sustainable, something that you like. I don't want to be on a perpetual diet. I don't want to eat salad for the rest of my life. I don't even like salad. And let's not lie. None of us like veggies. It's not like, oh, hey, we're going to have veggies for dessert. I got you carrots and broccoli. Nobody jumps up for joy and gets excited about that. So nutrition needs to be something to where it's manageable. Something to where if you have a family, you can eat it together. Something to where you don't dread it. Something to where it's not miserable. So for me, nutrition is just thinking about how I can create balance. How I can have a hunk of meat on my plate, how I can have some veggies on my plate, how I can have maybe a little bit of salad and some fats for flavor and put it together in a way to where it's sort of fun and engaging. One of the biggest things that I ever did that helped me a lot was I shifted my mindset from this mindset of I can't cook, I don't have enough time, I have to hire someone to cook for me, I hate cooking, and I'm not going to do this. When I think back, all that was self-defeating behavior. I didn't know how to cook, so I just didn't want to do it. And I was lazy. I was trying to use my business as an excuse to give up on my life. Think about that. How many people say they don't have enough time to cook, say they don't want to cook, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You could make the time to do it. You could make the time to enhance your life. Because in this realm, if your only focus is on business or career, you give up on a huge opportunity to actually live and see the world. There's a really nice world out there that you can explore and enjoy if you actually allow yourself to do it. So when I started thinking about this, I completely shifted my entire paradigm. I shut down my meal prep service. I had someone cooking our meals for us. I shut that down, canceled it all. And when I tell you I get obsessed with things, I got obsessed with cooking. I figured out how to make rosemary salt. I figured out how to make a steak basting. I figured out how to rest, what the optimal cooking temperatures are, how long to rest for. I tested things in 744 different ways, and I learned to cook like a champion. And it actually produced a really cool hobby for me. It helped me learn to remove the identity of business and a career being my only focus, and helped me recognize that you can do things outside of that, and you can enjoy yourself, and you can develop hobbies that are really going to help you out. And you know what's even more interesting about that is I had a client a while back who told me, you know, it wasn't the fact that I didn't want to eat at home. It wasn't the fact that I couldn't cook. It was the fact that I was using my kids as an excuse as to why I shouldn't cook, because I was using them as the reason, oh, they won't eat this, oh, they won't do that, oh, they won't this, when in reality, I really wanted it. So I think that's something we want to think about. Nutrition needs to be something that we turn into a sustainable habit. So it's not about diets, it's not about restrictions, it's not about any of that stuff. It's about enjoying yourself. It's not about 3% body fat. It's not about being a bodybuilder. It's not about looking at magazines and wishing and hoping you're the perfect person on the other side. Nutrition is just about keeping yourself safe, keeping yourself in a place where you're going to be around for a long period of time, to where you enjoy it, to where it's not miserable. Like I said a minute ago, nutrition's about putting yourself in a place to where you can eat a hunk of meat, some veggies, some fruit, maybe a little bit of fats for flavor, and you enjoy it. For example, like my family, we have every week a steak for one meal, and we have chicken for another sort of meal. We have some sort of like a Caesar salad. We have the Caesar sauce. I'm sorry, that's a sin in the health world, I think. We have sometimes we'll make a little ground beef thing, but we always do things different ways. So I'll cook the steak one way this week. I'll cook the chicken. I'll dice it up, put it in a Caesar salad. We'll dice up bacon, put that in salads. We'll have a ramen night where I make fancy ramen, which is the best thing in literally the history of the world. But I make it fun. And my little girl's four. She comes, she helps me cook. She knows what proteins are. She knows what carbohydrates are. She knows what fats are. She doesn't look at this as a diet. She looks at this as a way of eating that's fun. She looks at something that's sustainable. When I ask her, what do you want to eat? She doesn't say Taco Bell. She says fish. Because she's grown up that way. She didn't grow up in a world to where we were always doing all sorts of things, but we didn't prevent her from it. We go and have pizza Fridays. I do take her out to Taco Tuesday. Here's a shocker. She's eating at McDonald's. I know, nobody will admit it, but apparently they've served billions of people in the world. And we don't restrict her and deprive her from that stuff. We don't stop her. When you prevent someone from doing something, they want it more. So we put her in a place to where she has access to the things that are enjoyable in life in terms of food. But guess what? When I ask her what she wants for dinner, she tells me fish. Fish is her favorite food. So that's kind of what we need to move towards in our families. Then the next pillar that I have, number six, is fitness. And fitness for me isn't about beating your chest against the wall and trying to be the ultimate CrossFitter and running up and down mountains and screaming like David Goggins, like a lunatic. Fitness for me is just about raising bone density, putting yourself in a place to where your bone density is at. It's solid because bone density tends to be one of the single biggest predictors for longevity of life. I want to live a long time. So for me, it's not only bone density, but it's also about fun. So if you ask me to run on the treadmill, I'm going to say, wait, hold on a second. The treadmill? That's the dreadmill. That's the most miserable piece of equipment ever invented in the history of the world. Why would I get in my car, drive to the gym, to get on the treadmill, to get back in my car, to drive home when I could have just walked out my front door and ran? I could have just ran out my front door instead of driving to the gym to run on this thing that's horrible and miserable and that I hate. And that's how a lot of us feel about the gym. So for me, maybe I'm not going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to jiu-jitsu twice a week. We go to a CrossFit gym a couple times a week. We go out and we go for hikes. We go out and we do things that are fun. We make fitness an adventure so it's not miserable. We get the family out. We have fun and exciting times. Brianna loves to swim. We go snorkeling. She was two. And I had her, she knew how to snorkel in the pool because I had her in swim lessons early. We go surfing. She sits on the front of my board. So we do things that are exciting for fitness. So instead of saying I have to go to the gym, I'm just going to go out my front door and go for a walk. I'm going to sign up for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because it's fun. I'm going to sign up for dance classes. I'm going to do whatever it is that I've always wanted to do that I've never done because I've told myself I don't have time. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make it a habit. I'm going to do it consistently, and I'm going to make fitness something that's enjoyable for me, something that becomes a hobby and a habit, kind of like cooking that I talked about a second ago. Then the last thing that I really want to look at for the seven pillars of wellness is what brings it all together. And these are habits. Nothing can happen if we don't produce habits that we're going to do on a daily basis. So we have to look at everything that we're doing from the perspective of how can I turn this into a habit? So usually what this means is installing little pieces every day. So it's like cooking. Well, I'm going to cook one thing this week. Then next week, maybe I'll cook two things. Then the following week, maybe I'll cook three things. Moving myself into a place where I can consistently create habits, cooking. Then, okay, today, this week, I'm going to go for a walk twice. Okay, and then next week, I'm going to go for a walk, but then I'm also going to go try this thing I wanted to do. Then the next week, okay, well, maybe instead of a walk, I'm going to go for a hike after work or before. We want to think about those things. Mindset. Hey, this week I'm going to focus on what's good and bad, and I'm going to try to focus on where those things came from, or I'm going to make an appointment to talk to someone, or I'm going to do blank to make myself feel better. So I want to put myself into a place to where all of these things come together to produce habits that are going to be sustainable. Wealth. I'm going to stop putting everything on my credit card. I'm going to put myself in a place to where if I put something on my card, I have a financial plan to pay it off at the end of the month. I'm going to take all of my cards and start whittling them down and paying them off piece by piece. Or, hey, I haven't been putting enough into retirement or long-term wealth for myself. So maybe I'm going to make it a plan to put an incremental amount that incrementally gets larger so that way I'm comfortable. Hey, I've always wanted to invest in crypto and stocks and real estate. Okay, well, I'm going to create a plan to make this happen. And I'm going to turn what I'm doing into habits that allow me to consistently make it happen rather than saying, I'm going to do it. I'll just do it tomorrow. Oh, I don't have enough time. Oh, maybe I'll do it. Oh, I didn't do it today. Oh, I'll do it the next day. Guess what? That just turns into, I'm never going. You may as well just say, I'm never going to do it. And you kind of have to tell yourself that at some point. I'm either going to do it or I'm not. There really is no in between. The main way we do put an in-between into it is installing little habits. One little piece at a time turns into big little things that we do long-term. I used to have this mentor who would talk about this concept of the brass ring. And the concept of the brass ring is you have a big thing you want to accomplish, this big thing you want to make happen. But to get there, you have to hit these little tiny rings along the way. So these little rings are your little micro habits that you're accomplishing along the way. And these micro habits build into something that becomes this big long-term thing that you're thinking about, this big thing that you want to do, this big thing that you really want to make happen. That's your brass ring. So I hope this is helpful. Remember, your seven pillars of wellness come down to mental health, social health, sleep, nutrition, fitness, wealth, and habits. We need all of them to come together with these micro habits to make them work and to make them successful and to make them sustainable. You don't need to turn into a lunatic and a crazy person to make this stuff happen. You just have to put yourself in a place where you can create consistent patterns of action that allow you to be successful long term and help you stop telling yourself that you can't do it. So if you like this episode, please go to your favorite podcast platform and leave me a 5-star review and let me know. Drop by on social, Chandler_SAF on Instagram. Let me know how you like this and what you want me to talk about next. All right. I'll talk to you all later.